Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
I wanted to say to the worship team, wherever you are sitting, you are divinely prophetic today. You almost spoke my entire message through the ministry of your songs and what Charity said. And so I just wanted to thank you for being sensitive to Holy Spirit, because he can speak through all of us in all ways. And it's just a matter of whether we're listening and whether we're hearing what he's saying. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for the incredible privilege it is to be in front of my family and to share my heart and share what you have put on my heart, to not only give the word, but to build your family and to encourage your family and in some way challenge them to want more of what you want. And so I give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share something with you today, and I'm going to do it at the very beginning, so it'll just be out of the way. I want to share my personal narrative, which I wrote for one of my classes that I was taking in the fall. And this is kind of a breakdown of who I am and what my life looks like, looking from a perspective of how God actually intertwined his leading in my life, even when I did not know him. And so I want to read that first before I actually give you a few things from the Word, and so I'm going to start. My personal narrative begins at the very beginning. I was born into a Catholic Italian family in Joliet, Illinois. Midwesterner by heart. Means I'm a Bears fan. My parents were both under the age of 19. I can only remember bits and pieces of this early childhood, and most of those memories are not good. My parents' marriage ended in a divorce when I was 6. And after this divorce, my mom, my two brothers, and I moved in with my grandparents. My mother's divorce brought religious consequences as she was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. My memories of attending church are very few, and my attitude toward the church at that time was very distant and aloof. My mother remarried a gentleman a couple years later who I call Dad now, with 3 boys of his own. My new family had many trials and tribulations in everyday life. My memories of this time are very mixed. I had good memories of vacations and playing baseball. My memories also included a lack of identity and a relationship that was broken inside my own family. As I look back to those elementary years, I realize the roots of who I became were cultivated in those years. The fear of abandonment, fear of relationship, lack of love, lack of trust were all birthed in those formidable years. God, church, and religion in general was not part of our everyday life. My brothers and I became self-sufficient, learning not to trust in people, but only ourselves. My looking back has made me realize that I had lost part of my personality in those stormy years. My personality before the divorce was outgoing, confident, and very caring. And if you know my son, that is him. He is outgoing, he is confident, and is extremely caring. And I do all that I can to get out of God's way so that he will be who God's called him to be, even at an early age, and let God do all that he can through his life. My conversion to Christ now has brought those original traits back into balance. My junior high years were marred by the partial loss of my eyesight. This loss had a huge impact on all that I was doing. My abilities as an athlete were forever hindered. At that time, I had found identity in my athletics, and now my identity had been crushed again. In the summer of 1971, my parents gave their lives to Jesus during the Jesus movement in Illinois. my parents, immediately thrust our family into church life. Our lives began the healing process as we engaged in church life. Our church hired a young pastor the next year, and my life, for the first time, began to have meaning. Our pastor became my mentor. My trust in people, personal confidence, and personal identity began to blossom under his mentorship. My calling was birthed in this time of my life. God was calling me to teach and to help people. 5 years later, during my junior year of high school, my life crashed again. My mentor and friend was voted out by the trustees, and he and his family moved on to another church. My life began to spiral down, causing me to reject God. My college years were lived selfishly and bitterly in my own little world. I had become an unconfident introvert who did not care for people. As I look back, my life was headed toward destruction, but God had other things planned for me. When I graduated from college, the job market in Illinois was depressed. So my life took another direction as I sold everything I owned and moved to Alaska. A one-way ticket and two boxes of stuff. My Alaskan adventure began in June of 1983. Arriving in Anchorage, I was dropped into this church family, and that experience has forever changed me. I rededicated, or maybe for the first time, truly gave my life completely to Christ. In this church, ALCC, I began to attend the two-year Bible college. I immersed myself in the study of God's Word, learning how to communicate with Him. My identity was now coming back to me. I learned how to love, trust, and build relationships with people. My calling as a teacher became crystal clear while attending Bible college. Since understanding my call, I have never wavered in fulfilling and carrying out this call in my life, now almost 29 years ago. My heart's desire then was to teach Bible at the collegiate level. In 1985 to 94, my life was engaged working in coaching and teaching profession at Abilute Christian School right here in this building. My calling was fulfilled through teaching and coaching these students. My weaknesses as a young person became my strengths while working with these students. My goal with students was to help them build their confidence, build their determination, and build their identity in Christ. After time, my heart became restless that my goal was still not being met. So in 1984, I moved and attended Northwest College to prepare myself for graduate studies and beyond. My stay at Northwest was another step toward understanding my identity. The convictions in my life were rebuilt and re-strengthened while I was there. As I was approaching graduation, my heart was moving again, going to graduate school. As I was praying, again, God had other plans for me. Abilute Christian School gave me a call 1 month before graduation. They said, "Would I please consider coming back and teaching?" I actually had not considered that. But when they dropped the little seed in my heart, I began to pray. And so that whole month before graduation, I was praying. I decided God was calling me back to help. Even though graduate school was still on my thoughts and prayers, I put it on hold. My life was again captivated by the involvement in the lives of young people. My calling, again, drove me to build and strengthen all of those lives. 7 years later, my desire for school began to surface again. My road was heading towards graduate school. I visited two of them. I had applied. I had got accepted. But at last, in 2003, a good friend of mine, who at the time was pastoring in the Philippines, said, "Mick, I could really use your help. Would you be willing to come and help me?" Again, I began to pray. God had other plans for me. My calling of teaching was again used there as I went in 2003 to strengthen young people's lives in the Philippines. School was again on hold. My identity and callings were again being redefined by Him. My life was to change forever in the foreign mission field. My soulmate, Ellen, was waiting for me there. I look back now and I look at all the things that had happened there. And I believe God, Ellen was the whole reason God led me there and called me there. We are now back in Alaska, where my callings of teaching and helping are growing again. But early in January of 2010, I was hearing the call again to go to graduate school. So I began to research again. My wife and I prayed and talked about how we could make it all work. After months of prayer and talking, we came to the decision. I must pursue my dream to completion. It is time. Presently, I'm one semester into my Master's of Divinity, and it is retooling and redefining once more who I am and who God's called me to be. My identity, relationships, trusts, and hopes for people have grown even more because of the Holy Spirit throughout my life. A famous runner, Steve Prefontaine, said, "To give anything else but your best is to sacrifice your gift." And I refuse to sacrifice the gift in me. And that's why I give everything. In every endeavor God's ever given me, in every step, in every door, in every place I've ever been planted, they've always gotten 100% of McDrick. The Apostle Paul said it this way: "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain." So over the years now, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus and his leading. My journey has been exciting and challenging and rewarding. The path has been exactly the one I have needed to take. My wife and I are now planning for a new jump, this time full-time into my schooling. We are moving to Portland, Oregon, at the end of July, so I can actually put this whole thing, this dream I've had for so long, that God's planted so long in me, to go and to immerse myself in what he has called me to do, and that is to teach. My life is his. My identity is in him. My trust, relationships, and love continue to be molded by the potter. So, we are going. Now, I've left a couple other times throughout this journey. This one, we have no idea where God is taking us, except I'm going to school. That's all I know. I've been doing part-time, and as I've immersed myself in it, I've realized I can't get enough of it. And as the guys on staff know, I have been a little bit distracted because I can sit down and study, and 8 hours can go by, and I think it's been 10 minutes. And so I know that God is opening the door for me to finally do this. And I don't know what the future holds. Coming back here is not out of the question. We would hope that that would possibly happen. But right now our plan is just for me to finish school. When I finish this, then I will actually enter myself into a PhD program. And then God will do whatever he's going to do and lead me to the people and the place that he really wants me to be at. It could be here. We've had talks about starting up the Bible college in the future. That could be the exact right timing for this. We don't know. All we know is I am going to follow God's calling to be a teacher and to fulfill the dream he's put in my heart. And so I want to speak today really quickly about redefining the will of God. And I want to do that based on what I've just shared with you. Sometimes we make the will of God something extremely difficult. We think we have to pray for years and years and labor over whether you should make a decision or not. Well, I'm standing before you, and I'm going to actually give you a redefinition. And I hope that you will really listen to it, because I believe, personally, there are people in here that have put their dreams on hold. Maybe because the Lord has told you, or maybe because you gave up and you thought it not possible. And so I'm hoping that what I say to you today sparks faith and excitement back into your heart to really pursue what you believe God has called you to do. So I want to start by reading Ephesians chapter 1, 9 through 14. And I'll let those guys get that up there. Right on. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And in Galatians 3, 13 through 14, I'm going to read it out of my new Bible. It's a New Testament written by N.T. Wright, who's the foremost Greek theologian in the world. He says, "The Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse on our behalf, as the Bible says." God is speaking to us today. This is what came out through the worship time. "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This was so that the blessing of Abraham could flow through to the nations in Christ Jesus, and so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Redefining the will of God. I'm redefining it in four ways. Jesus' life was given to put his Spirit in us. That's what Ephesians says. That the will of God was revealed because of what Jesus did on the cross. That was the will of God from the very beginning. And now it's been made manifest to us. And we get to actually share in the deposit of the Holy Spirit if we know him. So what I'm going to be talking about today, as we're talking, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to have a hard time grasping this. And I don't apologize for that. I'm actually speaking to my family today. I'm asking that you open your spiritual ears and you listen to the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit is the seal of work he will accomplish through our lives. The Holy Spirit depositing in us is the will of God. And because we now have the Holy Spirit, every place that we walk is the will of God. That's why the ordinary day should never be ordinary. Ever. Because you are the revealed will of Christ because of what he did on the cross and the deposit of the Holy Spirit. So wherever you go, you take that promise with you. And if you have a dull and boring day, I'm telling you, it's your fault. Nobody else's. I never have a boring day, ever. And you can ask my wife, I don't have boring days. And if I'm just doing the normal thing every day, the moment I walk through the doors, and I have two incredible people jumping on me, shakes up my day. And my day is never the same. When I sit down with my wife and she has to correct me, it is the revealed will of God. I'm not saying the easiest thing to listen to. It's not the funnest, but it is the revealed will of God. Why? Because she is a believer and she has the Holy Spirit. So when she speaks to me, it's the will of God, as painful as it might be. Thank you for doing that, sweet pie. This was, number three, was the answer to the Old Testament, Old Covenant mystery. God would make a people with a new heart and a new mind. That's the whole entire thing that all of our forefathers in the Old Covenant were looking for. What we have is what they desired. And now we have it. And if I can be so bold as to say, please straighten up and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do with your life. Allow the will of God to actually flow through you every day. Because number four, our faith now, our faith is what our whole entire walk is based on. It's a walk of faith alone. What my wife and I are going to do, it's like jumping off a cliff. I know it's what God wants us to do. How do I know that? Because He spoke it to me almost 29 years ago. So this is not something I haven't been thinking about. But we're doing this knowing that God is going to take care of us. Because if He is for us, who can be against us? And so as we move, as we sell things, as we move, as we relocate, we know that wherever we go, wherever we settle, it's exactly where God wants us to be. And all the people we live around are the exact people that He wants us to speak into for that moment of time, for however long it is. And we will do that. The second thing is Rome. We're going to read Romans 12, 1 through 8. This goes along with the second point. Oh, the camera is revealing that I'm losing my hair. Not cool. You see? There it is. Okay, verses 1 through 8. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Hopefully my testimony has been a testimony of that. That I fixed my attention on God, and He has changed me from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you do not misrepresent yourselves as people who are bringing the goodness of God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. But as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Without envy or pride, comparing ourselves with each other, or trying to be something that we really are not. If you preach, just preach God's message and nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful you don't become bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile always on your face. So the second point I want to bring out is the knowing of God's will is the working of the Holy Spirit to create the new person in us. My friends and family, this is what it's all about. Our lives being changed by the Holy Spirit every single day in every way. So the first thing, as Romans 12 says, our gifts and talents are now to be given for the building of the body. Now, I know in the lower 48 there is lots of teaching about blowing off the body of Christ. It's huge. You pretty much go to any blog site and that's all they talk about. Well, you don't need the church. Church doesn't really need you. Just go start your own thing. But in the context of Romans chapter 12, our individual gifts mean zero unless they're expressed in the body of Christ. So if we blow off the body of Christ and go and do our own thing, your gifts do not go anywhere because they're irrevocable. But the full extension of them and how they function and their accuracy, there is none unless it's done in the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you why in a little bit. The full extension and power of this of the gifts can only be expressed in this corporate body. We know the will of God as we express our gifts given to us. Others are built up and unity takes hold because we use them. My challenge to all of you is, if you know what your talents are and you're not using them, I'm sorry to tell you, but you aren't building unity in the body. I'm not the lead pastor, so I can say these things and get down from here. But I'm being honest with you. If you have gifts and you're doing nothing with them, shame on you. Because Romans says, if you're not sharing them, it's just selfishness. If you're not giving them for others' benefit, to see others built up and growing in the Lord, then you're just doing it for yourself. And Jesus said, it's all about what God wants, not about what we want. Number three, we know the will of God as we express our gifts given to us. This is how we know we are in the will of God. It's an easy thing, everybody. You're in the will of God if you just use your gifts. Others are built up. Four, this means we have to let go of ourselves and be involved in others. And for some people, that's a painful operation, to be involved with others. As you can hear from my personal experience and my personal narrative and testimony, it was a hard thing for me growing up. But praise the Lord, because of the Holy Spirit and how He's changed me, I actually love helping people. I probably fall too far to the one side in helping people. And so I want you to think about that, because we're going to show a little clip here. This is from my son's favorite movie, Cars 2, and yes, it actually has a very good theological point in what the hero is saying in this particular clip, and that's toe mater.
Roger, go in, pretend to be this truck.
And leave the rest to us.
Now hold still. First, I have to do the final fitting on your disguise.
day. That's no good.
Hey, what are you doing?
The disguise won't calibrate effectively without a smooth surface to graft onto.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you was trying to fix my dents.
Yes, I was.
Well, then, no thank you. I don't get them dents buffed, pulled, filled, or painted by nobody. They ain't way too valuable.
Your dents are valuable? Really?
I come by each one of them with my best friend, Lightning McQueen. I don't fix these. I want to remember these dents forever.
So you were being serious in Paris? McQueen isn't just part of your cover.
Friendships can be dangerous in our line of work, Mater.
So, the point Mater is making here, it's actually a good thing to rub elbows, to be offended, and to have all the bumps and bruises that we get along the way living in the body of Christ. This is a pretty good theological point here. It is impossible to get through your Christian life without being offended by somebody, hurt by somebody, or getting a few dents and bruises by somebody. Impossible. I'm telling you right now, if I had based my experience of my narrative on that, I would have left this church a decade ago. And for some of us, we've experienced that. But I want to commend everybody that has stuck in here and has continued to make this place something strong for God. Because I know some of us, including myself, are wearing the bruises and the bumps and carrying the rust. Why? Because they're part of our character, everybody. It's what makes who we are. God is not trying to buff all that stuff out of us. He wants us to learn from us, because all of those bumps and bruises actually become strengths as we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And those things that happen in our lives are for His good measure and purpose, because He is going to take those and make you who you are. Listen, I couldn't talk to you this way if these things had not happened to me. If I hadn't gone through all the tough times and looked back and said, yes, okay, I get that. I get that's why I went through all that. Everybody, carry your bumps and bruises and rust with pride. I'm being serious. Allow them to happen, because they're a learning experience, and your gifting and your talent becomes stronger and better when you allow the Holy Spirit in faith to work you through those times. And I'm just going to again be bold. I think we're struggling in this area. I think we're allowing those bumps and bruises to keep us ineffective for Christ. And my challenge is to all of us is, don't let the devil talk you into that. Because that's him talking you into that. Every time you get involved in a person's life, it's going to take pain. It's going to take commitment. And there are going to be times when you're going to get offended and you're going to get hurt. I can attest to that. I have kids. They don't always say the nicest things. But you know what? They're truthful. It's something I love about my son. He's so just truthful. He just says it. Some things are said out of frustration. But you know what? I never have to worry about what's going on in the heart of my son, because he just expresses it. He just lets it out. If he's mad, he lets you know he's mad. And that's a good thing. Some people carry all that stuff in, thinking it's some sort of badge. But actually, it turns people bitter, because they allow those things to stay in their heart and they don't allow the Holy Spirit to work them out of them. Please, this body, I believe, has an incredible future. I wouldn't have invested all my life here if I didn't believe that. But you know what? It's going to take every single person sitting in this room that decides that this is your home to use your gifts and talents. And just understand, you're going to get some bumps. You're going to get some dents. There's going to be some rust that's going to be hanging out. But you know what? It all is what makes the family. Think of your own families. Come on. There's lots of bumps and bruises and rust in our own physical families. Why would it be any different in the family of God? There is no difference. Third, I want to read Luke 14. This is Jesus speaking. On one day, when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish, they'll say. Or you can imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of others. If he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Salt is excellent, but if the salt goes flat, it's useless and good for nothing. Are you listening to this, Jesus says? Are you really listening? This is the walk of faith. Carrying the cross of Christ and denying yourself. And I'm not talking about the character stuff. I'm talking about the gifts and graces that you have. They've already been crucified on the cross if you are his. But for us to really understand that, we actually have to realize that all of our gifts and talents have been crucified there too for his use. Until the day we are taken up with him, or until he comes back and we're still here. Our talents and our graces have to be used all the time. So, how do you figure the cost of following God's will? One, our death at the cross with Jesus is a lifetime of denying and picking up the cross. That principle has never gone away. I will tell you this, the church usually does not preach this message because it's not fun and exciting, and it doesn't bring a lot of willies in the heart, you know. Number two, our faith, life, and gifts must be surrendered to his bidding because he took them all to the cross. Watchman Nee said, "The vessel through which the Lord Jesus can reveal himself in this generation is not the individual, but the body. We all have a measure of faith, but no man or woman alone in isolation can fulfill God's purpose. It requires a complete body to attain to the stature of Christ and to display all of his glory." Number three, we have to realize it is a lifetime of denying ourselves so Jesus can be glorified and others can be built up and encouraged. And finally, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In conclusion, number one, the will of God can be an easy, understandable concept when we are willing to realize we are not our own. We're bought with a price. That is part of this Christian walk that many Christians forget along the way. You are bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You can live your own life. And you can live it selfishly, but you were bought with a price on the cross to give your life away, just like Jesus. Number two, all that we are is already His, everybody. That's the thing that's so funny, is it's already His. He owns everything. He owns all of us. On the cross, and we say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe it. He owns it all. Why not just give it all, since He already owns it? Three, just give what you have for the blessing of others. Look, my personal narrative was all about what I could do to bless others. That's been my Christian walk. I made directional changes because I heard the Lord say, help these people. I helped them. Four, He's going to do all the rest. For everybody that thinks my gift has to somehow be exalted, I'm telling you this, He's going to help you understand it's not about your gift along the way. That it's all about Him, and it's all about His extension through you, and it's about His gift that He gave you, not the gift that you give Him, but the gift that He gave you for you to put into use. And five, you will fulfill the will of God when your brothers and sisters are blessed and strengthened, bringing about the unity of faith. That is the new covenant redefining of the will of God. That you use your gifts with everything you have so that the body of Christ will be blessed and strengthened, bringing about the unity of the faith. If the unity of faith is not happening, I'm going to dare say, and I'm going to step out on a limb and say, we're not following the will of Christ, biblically. Otherwise, unity would be happening. Some of us might be doing this in our lives. But as a collective body, if the whole body isn't in unity helping each other, then really, just like in the real family, we're kind of all at fault. Even though those of us who are following God and those of us who are given everything we have, at some point, we have to help encourage that those that aren't to give it all. It's all a personal decision. Just like what I'm saying to you, you can take it in. It's all a personal decision. But I will tell you this. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer your own. And it doesn't matter what I say. You're not your own. You were bought by His crucifixion and His life and sacrifice on the cross. And so my challenge today is, like the song that they sang earlier, the wondrous cross, it's all about that, everybody. Whatever your gifts and talents are, use them to your best ability so that the body of Christ in this physical entity as a family is built up, blessed, and strengthened. Thank you.